Good evening. It certainly is a privilege to be back with you this evening. It's good to have those of you here who were here this morning, and we're especially honored to have those of you who are visiting with us. Good to have Ted and Scott with us. Ted went and preached at Woodruff today and got through and came over here. He's heard me speak quite a few times and over the years and still puts up with me, so I appreciate that. As a matter of fact, it was Ted who gave me the opportunity to speak the first time ever outside of the congregation at Clinton, and we won't say how long ago that's been, but it's been a long time. And everything, that's when Ted was working with the church up in Lawrence, and they invited me to come up one Sunday evening and to bring the lesson. I want to thank the congregation here for the meal that we had after the morning worship services today. And I'll tell you, I'm still full. As a matter of fact, if I preach until I'm empty, we're going to be here a while. So I hope you're ready for that. But I'll try to hold it down. The meal was excellent. Anytime that I go away for a meeting, we have a fellowship meal. It never ceases to amaze me, the good cooks that we find, no matter where we may go. And today was certainly no exception to that rule. The food was very good. But the fellowship I found to be even better. So I appreciate your hospitality, your kindness, and the kind things that you've had to say to me since I've been here. And I certainly hope that maybe we can say something that will be an encouragement to you tonight as we talk about the subject of giant slayers. Now the Philistines gathered themselves together at a place called Succoth, which belongeth to Judah. And they gathered together and pitched between Succoth and Ezekah and Ephesdammon. And the children of Israel and Saul gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah. And they set the battle in array. Now the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And they went out of the camp of the Philistines, a giant or a champion. And his name was Goliath of Gath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he had a weaver or a shaft, or his spear was like that, the shaft of a weaver's beam. And he had a coat of mail. And the coat of mail, the weight thereof, was 600 or 6,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. And there went one before him, bearing his shield. And the champion, the Philistine, stood and cried, saying, "Why have you set your battle at array? Am I not a Philistine, and all of you servants of Saul? Choose you out therefore a man, and let him come down to me, and let us fight together. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then will you be our servants and will serve us." And he said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 through about verse 11. The story of David and Goliath. A story that has been told in Bible classes for young people down through the ages. A story that we even sing a song about sometimes in our Bible classes with young people. But yet there are so many valuable lessons to be learned from this particular incident in the life of David. The Philistines had gathered themselves together to go to war against Israel. Israel, aware of the situation, Saul had gathered the men of Israel together, and they had camped in the valley of Elah. Now, the Philistines were on one mountain on one side and Israel on a mountain on the other side, the valley really between them, and they set the battle in array. They were ready to go to war. And every day out of the camp of the Philistines would come this champion, a giant of a man. He stood 9.5 feet tall. He had a spear whose shaft was like that of a 4x4. A huge man covered with brass from head to toe. He even had a man going before him carrying a shield. This giant would come out every day and would challenge the forces of Israel. Just give me a man so we can fight together. And if he can kill me, we'll become your servants. But if we can kill him, or if I can kill him, then you're going to be our servants. And he would defy the armies of Israel every day. And Saul and all of Israel heard the challenge. And they were concerned and worried about it. And they were extremely afraid. Well, there was this young man back home, taking care of his father's flocks. And his father sent this young man, whose name was David, down to where the battle was about to take place to check on David's older brothers, to see how they were doing. And when David came down, the giant appeared and gave his speech, defying the armies of Israel. And David said, basically, "What's wrong with you people? Isn't there somebody to go and fight against this Philistine? Why are you afraid of him? I'll go down as a young man and fight against him." And word reached King Saul that there was this young man who was willing to go down and fight against Goliath. And David went to meet with King Saul, and Saul wanted to know, "Now, what makes you think you can fight this giant and be successful?" David said, "Well, the Lord will give him to me. The Lord will let me defeat him. Because the Lord's already delivered me out of the paw of a bear and a paw of a lion, and he'll deliver me from this Philistine." So Saul agreed. But David had no armor. So Saul told him to take his armor and use it. And David said, "I can't unless I first prove it." So David, not able to use the king's armor, went and found 5 smooth stones in a brook. And he took his trusty slingshot with him. And he went to meet the giant. And Goliath came out with his armor all on and his shield before him. A huge man, a mountain of a man. And here David was, just a small individual young man. But you know the rest of the story. You know how David would be victorious over this giant? And David, from that time forward, would be known as the giant slayer. All because of what he said and did in the name of the Lord. There are times in our own lives when we all face giants. It's not a mountain of a man that we face. But nevertheless, there are giants that we face virtually every day of our lives. Sometimes we face the giant known as financial difficulties. There have been a lot of people over the last few years who have lost their job. And they've struggled financially, and they've had to deal with that giant they had to overcome. There are a lot of people who face giants in the form of problems on their job or even problems in the family. And those things aren't always easy to deal with. So they had to face that giant and figure out how they're going to be victorious. There are many others who face the giant known as the loss of a loved one. A loved one passes from this life, and it can be very depressing and can be very disturbing by those who are left behind. And there are many who face that giant on a regular basis, it seems like, as we all get older. But maybe the greatest giant we all face is that of health problems. Having to deal with problems in our physical health. It seems like as I get older, I hurt in places that I never even knew I had when I was younger. You see, I had to face a giant in the area of health problems some 29 years ago this past February when I lost my own sight. Kind of came on over a gradual 2-year period, and I lost my sight, and that was a giant that I had to deal with. You see, we all face them. We all had to deal with them just like David did. So it behooves each and every one of us to learn how to become a giant slayer. We need to be like David and not be afraid of those giants we have to face. And we need to be like David and learn how to slay those giants in our daily lives. So how did David become this giant slayer that we all know him as being? What can we do to overcome the giants that we face in our daily lives? Well, like David, one thing we need to all develop is that, and that is confidence in the Almighty God. In all this, the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. As David went out to meet the giant Goliath, Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you'd come out to beat me with sticks and with stones?" But David let him know, "I've come out here to fight you in the name of the Lord. And it's the Lord's battle, and the Lord never loses." Can you imagine David, that young man, taking that stone and putting it in his sling and going round and round and letting go of one side of the sling, and the stone made a perfect hit in Goliath's forehead? It's hard to imagine a young person being able to do that, but let me tell you, God never misses. God knew what he was doing when David went out, and God was with David. It wasn't David who was able to defeat that giant. But instead, it was because David had confidence in the Almighty God. And when I'm facing a giant in my own life, and when you're facing a giant in your life, the only way we can overcome that giant and defeat it is to make sure that we're confident in God. Our confidence isn't to be in ourselves. It isn't even to be in our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our confidence needs to be in the Almighty God Himself. And if we have confidence in God, we're not going to lose. We're not going to fail. But we're going to be able to overcome any giant that we face in this life. But what we've got to learn is not to have confidence in who we are and in how big we are and in how strong we are. Because if we have confidence in the flesh, we're going to fail. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul declaring that even though he had been a Jew, that his confidence wasn't in the flesh. It wasn't in who he was and how strong he was. He didn't have any confidence in the flesh. Many of the Jews would say, "Well, we be Abraham's seed." And they felt like that because they were a Jew, Abraham's descendants, they ought to have him made. But Saul said, "My confidence isn't in the flesh." He was stating the fact that his confidence rested with the Almighty God. And it doesn't matter who we might be. Our confidence shouldn't be in who we are, what abilities we have. Our confidence ought to be in God Himself. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, "But we have a sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." You see, we all have a sentence of death in ourselves. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to face death at some point. Therefore, our confidence shouldn't be in the flesh. But where we ought to be confident is in the Almighty God who will raise the dead. Those of us who are members of the Lord's church, we ought to be confident as we go forth in this world, knowing that the Lord's going to provide us with what's necessary, the strength we need, and everything that goes along with it to face every giant that comes our way. Having confidence in our flesh is going to lead to certain defeat. But being confident in God will always lead to certain victory. We need to be confident and hold on to that confidence and not let it be swayed, no matter what we face, no matter what life may deal us. Sometimes life can be very hard. It can beat us up. It can toss us about. But with God's help, we ought to be confident in knowing we're going to win. But how can I have that kind of confidence? Well, John put it this way in 1 John 2, verse 25. And now, little children, abide in him, that you may be confident at his appearing and not be ashamed when he comes. You see, the key is abiding in the Lord. Being faithful to the Lord. Becoming one of his children. Obeying the gospel plan of salvation as we witnessed the two young people do it this morning. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. And having done that, abiding in the Lord. Being faithful to him as we go through this life. If we'll do that, then we'll be able to be confident at the appearing of the Lord. We'll be confident because we will defeat every giant that comes our way. There'll be nothing to worry about, nothing to think can defeat us at all in this life. So my confidence has to be in the Lord, and it has to come from me abiding in him, being faithful to him as I go through this life day by day. Paul would say, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has for you a greater recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence as a member of the Lord's church. You hold on to that confidence. Don't let it go. Be confident in who you are as a child of God. Be confident because you're abiding in the Lord, being faithful to him. No, don't be confident in the flesh, but let your confidence lie with God. That's what David did. He would tell old Goliath, the battle's the Lord's, and he's going to give you to me. And we need to have that same confidence as we're fighting against giants in our daily lives. We need to be confident in knowing the battle is the Lord's. And if we abide in him, victory is going to be ours. We need to be giant slayers like David was. You see, David became a giant slayer because he put his trust in the right one. He put his trust in God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, and David said unto the Philistine, you have come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I am come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David told old Goliath, you've come out to me armed for battle. You've come out with your armor on. You've come out with your spear. You've come out with your coat of mail. You've come out here with everything that you can think of, and that's what you're trusting in. But I've come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. David was telling old Goliath, I'm not trusting in my weaponry, but I am trusting in the Almighty God. You know, I need to stop and think, where's my trust? You ever face a problem in your life and you begin to worry? You stay up all night wondering, what am I going to do? Maybe the doctor gave you some bad news that you have something going on in your health, and you wonder and you worry, what's going to happen? Or maybe there's something going on financially and you're struggling to make ends meet and you worry and wonder, what am I going to do? Or perhaps there's a problem in a relationship that you have with someone and you just can't figure out, what am I going to do about this situation? You see, we need to put our trust in God and not allow ourselves to be troubled by what's going on in this life. We need to do what we can do and then trust in God to take care of the rest. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thine ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The wise man tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know, when I learn to trust in the Lord with all my heart, there's not going to be any room in my mind to worry, is there? There's not going to be any room in my mind to get all distressed and all depressed and all overcome by whatever it is I'm facing. I need to put my trust in God. I'm afraid, though, the problem with so many of us is that we trust in the physical material things of life instead of trusting in God. We think, you know, oh, my money will get me through this, or the things I have will get me through it, or, you know, I can look to my fellow man and put my trust in them and they'll be there for me. But that won't work. Paul told the young man Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Instead of trusting in things that are uncertain, instead of trusting in things that are here one day and gone tomorrow, we need to trust in the Almighty God. God who blesses us, God who takes care of us, God who provides for us, that's where our trust needs to be. That's where David had put his trust. You see, David knew that he could depend on God. He knew that he could count on God. There's very few things in this life we can count on as human beings. There's very few people that we can count on. But you know, God will never fail us. And that's where our trust needs to be. We can put our trust in God because we can count on what God says. 1 Corinthians 1:19 and verse 20. Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. You see, you can count on what God says. When God makes me a promise, it's as if it already happened. When God makes me a promise, I can stand on that promise. I can trust in it. David knew that. He knew that he could trust in God to be there with him. He knew he could trust in God to deliver that old giant into his hands. And we've got to get to the same point in our own lives. Realizing that we can count on what God says in His Word, that God isn't going to change His mind, and God is never going to go against what He says. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is unchanging. He isn't going to say one thing today and turn around and say something totally different the next time. He never changes. And what He said years ago to those inspired writers of the Bible is just as valid today as when it was said years ago. We can trust in God and in what He says. So if I'm going to be a giant slayer like David, I've got to learn to trust in the Lord. Put all my trust in Him. Don't trust in the flesh. Don't trust in what I have. Or don't trust in the people around me. But my trust needs to be in the Almighty God. And then when I'm facing some kind of giant, I know God will help me overcome that giant. That God will deliver that giant into my hand. David also was a giant slayer because he was a man of great convictions. And the Lord shall deliver you into my hands this day. And I will smite you. And I will take your head from you. And I will give the carcasses of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beast of the earth, that all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. David told old Goliath, you know, I've got convictions here, Goliath. Just because you're a mountain of a man and just because you're armed as best you can be at that time, and just because you're such a champion, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't scare me. because I have convictions in the Almighty God. Where's our convictions lie? How strong are our convictions concerning God and His Word? David had great convictions about God and God fighting the battle for him and delivering the giant into his hands. How strong are our convictions? You see, we need to be people of great conviction. We need to understand that God isn't going to leave us alone and leave the battle up to us. That's not the way God works. If we're one of His people, He's going to be with us, and He's going to be there to help us fight whatever giant we're having to fight in our life. I like what David would say years later, Psalms 37, verse 25. For I was young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said God's not going to forsake those who seek to do right in this life. God's not going to leave them all alone. He's not going to let them fight the battle all by themselves. No, He's going to be with them. But the same words are echoed to the Christian in the New Testament. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Doesn't that remind you of what David said so long ago? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. If we'll do what's right in our life, no matter what problems we're struggling with, no matter what giants we're facing, God's going to be there with us. He's going to help us face them. He's going to carry us through. It reminds me of that old saying about footprints in the sand. Many of you probably have heard it, and maybe even heard it mentioned in gospel sermons. It's kind of like a man looking back over his life. As he looked back over his life, it appeared like footprints in the sand. And the man began to notice that over the smooth and easy places in his life, there were two sets of footprints as if someone was walking with him. But over the steep and rocky places in his life, the difficult places, there was only one set of footprints as if he was walking alone. So he inquired of his Lord what this meant. And the Lord told him, over the smooth and easy places, the good times in your life, there are two sets of footprints because I was walking with you. But over the steep and difficult places in your life, the times when you needed me the most, there's only one set of footprints, because that was when I was carrying you. You see, we need to have the conviction that if we're one of God's children and are doing what's right in our life, God's not going to leave us by ourselves. He's going to be there with us no matter what we're facing. No matter what we're going through in this life, God's going to carry us through. We also need to have the conviction that the Lord's going to be our great protector. Do you remember what He said to Abram? Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came again to Abram in a dream, saying, Fear not, Abram. For I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Lord told Abram, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to be your protector. Don't you know David had that same conviction when he went out to face Goliath? The battle's the Lord's, Goliath. He's going to give you into my hands because He's my shield. He's my protector. But did you know the same words are spoken to the faithful children of God over and over again and again? Romans 8, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on my side, and He will be if I'm living my life in the way He says, what do I have to worry about?
Who's going to be able to defeat me? What giant's going to be able to overcome me? And he would say again in Romans 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Victory is certain if we're one of God's people and are living our lives in the way God instructs us to. We ought to have convictions then about the Lord being there for us and the Lord carrying us through and the Lord protecting us and taking care of us. We ought to have convictions just like David did. And to be a giant slayer, we've got to have convictions about God. That God is always there for me. That God is always there with me. As long as I'm living my life as I ought to. And when I fail to live as I should, it isn't that God leaves me, but rather I've moved away from God by the way I live my life. David the giant slayer. We all face giants. Not like Goliath. Not a physical man who stands 9.5 feet tall. But yet we face giants in our own lives, and they come in various shapes and forms. But nevertheless, they're giants. And we can defeat them in the same way David did. It begins with having confidence in God. Really being confident that God's going to do what he says he'll do. And holding on to that confidence. It means trusting in God. Believing that God's going to fulfill what he says in his word. And it means being a person of great conviction. Really being convinced that God's there with me. That God's going to be with me and take care of me, protect me, and see me through whatever it is I'm facing in my life. The question is, am I really a giant slayer? You know, it's not me that slays the giant. No more than it was David who slew Goliath. Oh, David cast the stone with the slingshot. But it was God who did the guiding of the stone and delivered Goliath into the hands of David. So when I face a giant, it's not me that's going to slay the giant, but it's the Lord. And the only way then I can be a giant slayer is to have the Lord on my side. And it all begins with me submitting to him in obedience to his word. So if you're here tonight and you need help, as we all do, in facing the giants in this life, won't you realize that it needs to begin with you submitting to the Lord in your life? Submitting to the Lord by being obedient to the gospel plan of salvation. Letting your faith lead you to repent of any and all sin in your life. Letting that faith move you then to confess your faith in Christ before men. And letting that faith lead you to be baptized in the water grave of baptism for the forgiveness of sin so you'll be raised up to walk in newness of life, having a right relationship with the Lord as you live the faithful Christian life. And you'll become a giant slayer with the Lord's help. If you're here tonight as a member of the Lord's church, but you've moved away from the Lord because you've gone out in the world, got involved in sin, and been overcome by it, won't you realize the Lord didn't leave you? You left the Lord. So isn't it time to wake up and come back home to your first love? Repent of your sins. Pray to God for forgiveness. If they're known by others, then come forward repenting of them and confess them and let the church pray for you and with you that God would forgive you. And you'll be restored to the Lord. And you'll become a giant slayer with his help. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight for any reason at all, won't you please come and express whatever need you may have as together we stand and sing the song Brother David has selected.